So Texas state law is a bit different than some others, and it's actually a little bit more forgiving in the instance of a ransomware investigation. So Texas law defines a breach of personal information pretty narrowly. It's considered the unauthorized acquisition or exfiltration of sensitive personal information that was not encrypted. And fortunately, it only applies to computerized data. There are some other states that it applies to any type of data. So that means paper records. So if someone has, you know, a list of students and they happen to have their social security numbers on them because, you know, it's an old system that's using that as an identifier, leaves it in their car, it gets stolen, you then have a breach of that information. Fortunately, here we're only talking about computers. The other good thing about this standard is that it's an acquisition standard, meaning somebody actually has to come in and remove it from your network, as opposed to an access standard, where that means that someone just came in, poked around, did a visual, and left. And that would be enough to constitute a breach. So in talking about how this standard works, I like to think about it as if you are going in to rob a house. You're the burglar, you're going in, they have some cameras up, but nothing, you know, too major. You get in, it's fine. You poke around, you take one thing and you leave. Now the owner comes home and they're looking at their Nest Cam or their, you know, ADT security camera. And if we're looking at an acquisition state, we want to be able to see on the camera where it was that they took the information. So let's say they took a glass vase. Well, let's hope that we had a camera showing the glass vase and watching them walk out with that vase. If you're in an access state, just the fact that they got in the house, they went in your dining room, they looked at all your china, they went somewhere else, they looked at your TVs, and they left, all of that is going to be in scope for possible notification under law. So remember, we actually have a break here in Texas in that it's an acquisition state. So how does Texas define personal information? It's much more narrow, I think, than what we think of, because we often, you know, birth dates, student ID numbers, addresses, emails, all of that we value as our own personal information. But to trigger notice under Texas law, it's going to be an individual's first name or first initial and last name in combination with one or more of the following. And we've got a social security number. We have a driver's license, which is very lucky if you're under the high school level because you're not going to have any of those, or other government issued identification number. And this usually, you know, that can be subject to a little bit of interpretation, but generally, data breach statutes are trying to target the big documents like a passport, not, you know, this is your state voter registration number, even though it's still issued by the state, or if you fly international, this is your global entry number. You know, they're really looking to hit things like a passport, or if you have a Texas ID card that doesn't count as a driver's license, but you still have an ID card. The next thing is your financial information, and it's not going to be, you know, just somebody's bank statement or a plain, you know, check authorization that doesn't have any other details on it. We want to see an account number or a credit and debit card number, but it has to be in combination with the security code. So if we just have a routing number, that's not going to be sufficient. We want to see a routing number and an account number. For a credit card, we want to see that little 4-digit or 3-digit code that would actually get someone access to use your card. And finally, this is the trickiest one for Texas, and that's health information. So, and it's information that relates to the physical or mental health condition of an individual, the provision of healthcare to that individual, or payment for the provision of healthcare to that individual. So that's actually pretty broad. So Texas has one of the broader health information laws. And I would point out that this is actually going to be health information under Texas law. It's not PHI, which is how we normally think of health information in a HIPAA context. If you tell someone that you had PHI exposed in your ransomware incident and they are, you know, somebody like me, I'm immediately going to say, oh my goodness, are you also providing healthcare that makes you qualify under HIPAA? So it's good to remember that this is a very narrow component of the Texas data breach law. So what constitutes health information? You know, we deal with a lot of regulators, including the Texas AG's office and the TEA, and all of the school district partners that we work with. And some things that we have learned and found through those discussions, and then also in applying analogous situations from other states, it's still going to be kind of specific. So if you have a note that is, you know, exfiltrated by a threat actor and it says, Timmy is out today with a cold, that's not going to be sufficient to trigger it. It's not a sensitive diagnosis. It's not a diagnosis coming from, you know, a provider related to the actual provision of that person's healthcare. But if you have in there a student form that says,